Well, I'm glad to see you all survived April Fool's Days this past Friday. How many of you pulled a prank on anybody? A few hands. I know Tyler's hand's going up. He pulled it on me. Dennis is back there. Yeah, a few of you guys are still doing that, you know. Tyler, you'll have to ask him, but it was pretty good when he got me good. But, you know, we're so it's just a day. It's one of those days. It's April Fool's. We're so suspecting. Actually, I had one of my relatives call me. He would text me he had fallen and had a concussion, and I said, is this April Fool's or it's serious? You know, you just think, you know, I didn't really expect it, but he did have it. But and it's one of those days we kind of just deal with. And the word fool is partially defined as a silly or stupid person, a person who lacks judgment or sense, a person who has been tricked or deceived in appearing or acting silly or stupid to make a fool of someone, a weak-minded or idiotic person. So it's interesting we say about fools, and the Word of God really says a lot about a fool. We'll find interesting this morning. But turn with me this morning, if you would, to Psalm 14. You'll find it on page 372 if you were looking in your pew Bibles. But Psalm 14, we'll see what the Word God says about a fool. But Psalm 14:1 says this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none who does good. So for the person who says there is no God, for a person who says God does not exist, the Bible calls them a fool, that they are a foolish person. I suspect if somebody doesn't believe in God or believe in God's word, that they're not much moved by that, but it's nonetheless true, amen? That's what the Bible calls, and fool is an interesting word, and it's a word we often use lightly. We talk about foolproof, having things that are foolproof. I looked up some things we had here. You know, they try to make these things foolproof. You get these items or these statements on packages when you buy them, and they were pretty funny. I got a few of them for you. There was one on a hair dryer that came out, and on the package it says, do not use while sleeping. Kind of a foolproof thing here. On a bag of Fritos, you could be a winner. No purchase necessary. Details inside. So what do you do with that? Rip it open to that, you know, and tell the clerk, I just said, could be, I look at the things, you know. On a dessert package, do not turn upside down, but they printed it on the bottom. The package of bread pudding product will be hot after heating. Do we really need to be told that? And this one is a good one. Do not iron clothes on body. Now, I hope here nobody's ever tried that. You know, I got a little wrinkle here. This is a good one. Nitrile sleep aid. Warning, it may cause drowsiness. And that we're hoping for? Kitchen knife, warning, keep out of children. Kind of funny, you know? Airline package of nuts, instructions, open packet, eat nuts. And maybe my favorite one here, on a chainsaw, do not attempt to stop chain with your hands. Foolproof. You know, we use this word fool, and it's kind of a comical way of looking, and we may use the word fool lightly, but the Bible does not use the word fool lightly. The word declares that the word fool is a strong word. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, if you're angry with your brother and call him a fool, you're actually in the danger of the fire of hell. So the Bible looks at it very clearly, very strongly. And the word here, fool, in the Psalms, in the original language, means anywhere from stupid, to foolish, to wicked, or to a vile person. The understanding here contextually is a vile person, one who is wholly indifferent to the moral standards of God. Psalm 14:1, the Living Bible, says it this way, the man is a fool who says to himself, there is no God. Anyone who talks like that is warped and evil and cannot really be a good person at all. And so that's the understanding. And the fool here believes God is either non-existent or he cares nothing about them and is totally indifferent to them and man's behavior as a whole, that God really doesn't care how you behave. And that's what he's trying to say here. And that would really be equivalent to what's often referred to as a fool's paradise. Fool's paradise is a state of enjoyment based on false beliefs or hopes, a state of illusionary happiness. In other words, you may want to believe there is no God. That's just kind of a false belief or hope because there is a God. In God's eyes, that's very dangerous, and it's a foolish place to be. Same word here is translated fool, foolish, boastful, or arrogant. One who is boastful, one who is arrogant, is full of self. It's me, I, not God. It's all about me. It has nothing to do with God. And while the word clearly distinguishes between the fool and one who believes in God and believes in God wholeheartedly, and there's a strong contrast here, if we're not careful, I mean, we would say we're here because we believe in God. We're not a fool. We believe God exists. We believe in worshiping him, and we understand all that. So we say we're not a fool. We don't, where's this even going with this? But the reality is we never want to fall anywhere in place in between. I don't want to be considered remotely a fool in God's eyes, and I want to make sure that I always line up with God's eyes. At times, our response or attitude towards God and towards his word can be, if you would allow me, foolish. And I don't want to do that. Turning this morning to Psalm 92, you'll find that on page 406 in the Pew Bibles. Psalm 92, 406. Some of you may recognize this as something we sang years ago, but it's scripture. 92:1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." King James says, "It is a good thing to give praise to the Lord and to sing praises." How many would remember that song years ago? A few of you? Go back quite a ways, but it's a good thing. And how many would agree that it is a good thing to sing praises to God and to worship him? That's why we come here. How many would agree that it's a good thing to allow God's word to speak to us and change and alter our lives and have our lives line up with the word of God? That's a good thing. And I think we would agree that anything less than that would be foolish. Would you not agree with that? That if anything less than having God's absolute best for you and everything he desires for you, if you settled for anything less than that, would be silly or foolish, if you will. And I want to look this morning a little bit at what the word says about it. And here in this morning, we should understand that this word foolish is very strong, what they're saying to us. And we want to understand what God's speaking to us this morning. But as we look a little bit at Psalm 92, understand that Psalm 92 was considered a song for the Sabbath day. It was a song they would sing as they came into the temple or came into worship, and they came in to celebrate God and to worship him. Psalm 92:1 starts out, as I said earlier, "It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night." Look how it encompasses the whole day. "Declare it on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound." So it's a good thing to give thanks to God, to come into church on the Sabbath day, and not just the Sabbath day. They would sing this on the Sabbath day, but it means really in every day of your life that it's good to come in and sing praises, to declare his loving kindness, his faithfulness, and it's a good thing to declare and sing his praises, some translation say it, at night. To come in the morning, to declare God's loving kindness, and when you go to bed at night, you've thought about him throughout the day, and even that evening, you declare once again how God is good for you. Anything less would be foolish, but to embrace the whole of God. Moving on in Psalm 92, verse 4 says, "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Oh, Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep." Some translations say, your thoughts are so profound. "And as I will triumph," some translations say, "I will sing aloud." And the idea is that you will cry aloud and sing aloud in victory at the work of God's hands in your life. That you will understand that God is at work in your life, that his hand is literally upon your life. Who wouldn't want God's hand on their life? And that's what it's saying, that you would cry aloud and shout at God's victory in your life, and understanding, and it really means to sing for joy, and understand that God has his hand on your life, that you see him working in your life, even when you don't like where it's going, but you trust that he is there, and he is working to your benefit. Now, that's worth praising God for, amen? That God is working towards your benefit. And understand that it says, your thoughts are very deep, your thoughts are very profound, that even as he is working in your life, his hand is upon your life, and I'm so grateful that God would even say he'd have his hand on my life, that his thoughts are very deep, they're very profound towards you. That he's not taking this casually, that he's thinking deeply, he has plans for you. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. That should cause us to sing for joy, amen? And that's what God's saying to here. And it's a deep understanding of God's hand in your life. And so 4 and 5 tells that, and then it follows up with verse 6 says, "A senseless man does not know nor a fool understand this. A fool is senseless, has no understanding or knowledge of God. And one that would go through life having no knowledge of God, no understanding of God, no awareness that God is working or desires to work in their life is clearly foolish. But they go through life saying, everything I do, I have to handle on my own. Everything that comes down my pike, everything that I have to do, I got to take care of. I can certainly remember before I knew the Lord many, many years ago. I mean, that was our attitude, wasn't it? First of all, we could handle it because we were boastful and arrogant, and we were the ones in charge, and we had to take care of it. But now that we know the Lord, I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that I don't have to do it on my own. I am so grateful that God can speak to me, that God's hand is on my life, and he's directing me. Amen? And so they're saying that if you have no awareness, and I think we could look at that as believers this morning and say, when we start getting into this attitude of God doesn't really know what's going on with me, he doesn't really care, I've been praying, but he's not hearing my prayers, and, you know, we've all been there at one point or another at some time in our life. He's not answering me. Why is this thing not working out? What's he done? Why is he forgotten? We are denying that God is saying, my hand is upon you as my child. I am believing for you. I am working in your life, and I have deep thoughts concerning your entire future. And for us to fall anywhere short of that would be foolish. And that's what God's saying to us this morning. We don't have to handle on our own. 92:7 goes on and says, when the wicked spring up like grass, when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever, but you, Lord, are on high forevermore. And really what it's saying there, and we've all seen this, Lord, there is one that is evil. He's wicked. He doesn't care about you. He has no desire of you. He doesn't acknowledge you. He denies you. But it seems like he's flourishing. What's up with that? You ever thought that way? Why is that happening? And the Bible's saying he may be doing that right now, but it's temporary. He eventually, because he does not know me, will be destroyed. But I, God, is saying, I am for eternity. I am forevermore. And as my child of God, you are with me in eternity, and you are forevermore. And contextually here, it's saying the fool may last for a time with an eventual demise, but God is eternal, and he is concerned about you here and now and for eternity. Because he's bringing in contextually about the moment, what's happening right now, what's saying to you at the same time, don't forget, I'm an eternal being, and you will live with me for eternity. So when my hand is on your life, when I'm doing something in your life, know that I have not only your here and now, but your eternity and your growth and your blessing in my mind. And to trust me, that's what God's saying. Regardless of what's happening in your life, God knows about it and God cares about it. He is in control. He is in control. And most importantly, or as importantly, he's thinking about you. That should make you happy. That God is aware of you. He's thinking about you. He has you on his mind. He knows what's happening in your life. And as a fool who does not know this, and as a believer, it is foolish to forget this or to be fooled into thinking he doesn't know or care. To know and understand and to believe, as I said before, that God's working in your life, his thoughts are towards you, is a wonderful thing. To believe that and embrace that wholeheartedly, even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel it, but to know that he's there is a blessing. Anything less would be foolish. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. You will find this on page 433 in the Pew Bibles, Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs is a wonderful book. In many ways, it's a book of contrast. Several chapters here, there's contrasting the righteous living versus the wicked living. And there's all these contrasts going back. Proverbs is God's book on how to wise up and live. We could take the Proverbs and title it God's Treasure Book of Wisdom. It's a wonderful thing. You just have all this wisdom that he gives unto us. And speaking of God's word as a whole, Psalm 19 says, the statutes of the Lord make wise the simple. The word of God makes wise the simple. And it's true that there is wisdom for you in your life, regardless of your stature of life, regardless of where you're at in life, that God has wisdom for you to function in your life. And that no matter where you find yourself, as you study the word of God, it makes wise the simple. As you study the word of God, as you embrace the word of God, you will become more wise in your life. You'll have more of the things of God in your life. And who doesn't want that? And it's a promise from the Word of God. Proverbs 10, verse 1 says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. And this is true in the natural and it's relevant spiritually. A wise son makes a glad father. A son of God functioning in the wisdom of God, embracing the Word of God, will bless the heart of God. A son or daughter of God that embraces the Word, trusts God, allows His Word to change them and speak to them, blesses the heart of God. God in Proverbs talks about God's wisdom versus that of a foolish person. One that says, I'll handle this, or God doesn't even care. Versus one that says, I know God is with me. I know He's on my behalf. We're to be seeking and believing in every area of our life that God is with us. It should be continual. The Bible declares that it's a fool who thinks God is not interested. It's a fool if you think God doesn't care, because He's saying to you, He's declaring to you just the opposite, that I care deeply. I know and I understand it. I know what's happening. And He says, you bring Him joy. He delights in you. The Word says He numbers every hair on your head. He knows what's happening in your life. We all know Jeremiah 29:11. If I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. God has thoughts towards you. And so here in Proverbs, the next several verses, you know, in Proverbs says, God will bless the diligence of your hands. And He compares them and contrasts them with the work of the wicked. He honors the righteous while the violence of the wicked will be dishonored. And that's what He's saying. And now we're going to pick this up in verse 8. And watch for the contrasts. Watch for the contrast of the righteous compared to the foolish and the wicked. Proverbs 10:8 and following says, the wise in heart will receive commands. Now, you can stop right there and be delighted. How many of you are asking God for direction in your life right now? Trying to make a decision, trying to get something. And how many of you know that if not this morning, probably sometime this week, you're going to need some direction? In fact, if you're going to embrace the Word of God, as we're saying this morning, that on a daily basis, we will be seeking God for wisdom. And if we're not, what are we doing? Handling it on our own. And that would be foolish. You guys are catching on. You're a smart group. You know? But the wise in heart will receive commands. Thank God for that. The wise in heart that say, in your heart, Lord, I need your direction. I need your wisdom. Speak to me and give me that direction. So the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely. But he who perverts his ways will become well known. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife. Love covers all sins. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And a lot of this right here is all tied up with your attitude. Notice the attitude of the person here. There's one that is malicious. This winking of the eye here is deceitful, deceiving, malicious person that's wicked and versus a righteous, walking with integrity, with a straight path, with direction from God, not stumbling, and then the one that is evil has crooked paths. See, we find with God's contrasts, it becomes very clear. God is not lukewarm in His contrast. He's very clear about the difference between those that He calls a fool and one that embrace Him. And notice as well the mouth. Man, we can get in trouble with our mouth. Amen? None of you have ever done that, have you? How many of you here have ever made a foolish statement? You know, I always say keep your feet clean because you never know when you're going to put your mouth in it. Amen? I'll give you a good example of a foolish statement. This goes back many, many years, but I remember it. Now, you all know that I love my wife dearly. I do. I'm crazy about her. I've told her in the past I should carry these little heart paddles because when I see her, she stops my heart. I should, you know, I'm crazy about her. I always tell her. I mean, I just say good things to her. Many years back when we were together one morning, I think it was a Saturday, and I think I told her a couple times she looked pretty. We just had, you know, she looked real good that day. We just had a nice day, and she left to do some errands. And it was a really windy and rainy day. So she does these errands, does shopping, and she comes home. and she walks in, and she looked different. Now, I asked her, to me, what seemed like a simple question. Why is your hair so flat and weird? Now, I found out there was never a good time to ask that question, ever. It's similar like one time she went and got her hair cut, and I came home and I said, she came home and I said, what did you do to your hair? Now, I didn't mean any of that malicious, you know? It was a simple question, but she says, you never talked to me like that. I mean, you know, it was foolish. I was like, boy, did I say that out loud? I could never take those words back. Now, she kidded me about it. She knew it, but I mean, that was what I consider a foolish statement, amen? You never ask that. That's things we say without thinking. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Consider that. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, is a fountain of life. The mouth of the righteous speaks the things of God. It's a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. What a strong comparison. And in your life this morning, I want to ask you, what are you speaking regarding your life? Your mates, your children, your family, your circumstances, your job, your health. Are you speaking the things of God? Are you speaking life or violence without realizing it? Those that do not know God never acknowledge Him, never turn to Him, never confess His word over their lives. But we want to always be confessing God's word. We want to be speaking God's word into our life, into our families, into our children, into our grandchildren, into our work, into our environment, and everything we touch. And where are we living, with the mouth of the righteous being a fountain of life, or the mouth of the wicked being one of violence, or somewhere in between? Because anywhere from the mouth of the righteous to the mouth of the righteous to the violent, we want to be with the mouth of the righteous. And anywhere in between, that's for the world. Not for the child of God, not for the child of the King. Anything less than speaking God's word over your life would be foolish. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, not a fountain of death. Not, oh, woe is me, oh, this is terrible, this is never going to work out, this is bad, what a horrible report, what am I going to do? That's not what God says to you. Your mouth should be speaking the things of God. Proverbs 10:23 says, to do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. NIV says it this way, a fool finds pleasure in evil conduct. I mean, you know, I can remember that before I knew the Lord, you know. A fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom. Even our conduct now, if it's not if it's what we would call evil or anything that doesn't glorify God, we would say that's foolish. And so hopefully when we begin to see this and grasp this, that when we start to do or say or think and behave in certain ways that would not glorify God, and we just want to kind of satisfy whatever we're thinking or feeling in our flesh, please remind yourself to say, you know what? That's foolish. I'm not going to be a fool. Why would I do that? I'm staying away from that. And so a man of understanding delights in wisdom, mouth, and conduct. God's people should walk in wisdom. God's people having wisdom in our lives, functioning in the things of God. And anything less is foolish. And it's easy to get caught up in the world system of wisdom. It's easy to rely in the world system of wisdom. And Krista spent the night, as you know, we just talked to you, she's in the hospital overnight, and she's doing well. There's nothing wrong. We're glad for that. And we go there and we say, we need doctor's wisdom. See, I don't think it's a lack of faith to go to a doctor. I believe God has given me the wisdom. I want to have all the knowledge of an illness I or one of my family has so I can pray wisely. Amen? So I don't have a problem with that. Doctor saves lives. Several years ago, some of you may remember, I had an emergency appendectomy. Very busy day. We're running around. I didn't feel well. I went to emergency room. Before I know it, 10:30 at night, I'm having an emergency appendectomy. Now, if I'm going in for emergency appendectomy, I want that surgeon to be very wise and have God-given and established skill. Amen? How many would want that? So at 10:30 at night, they wheel me into the operating room. I meet the surgeon for the first time, and they get ready to put me under. And I stop them. I said, before we do this, I need to do two things. And I said, well, what's that? I said, well, you're a surgeon, and I've got a really good surgeon joke. And so I told him a surgeon joke. And I'm going to share it with you because you may need it someday. It's kind of a stupid joke, but it's funny. There's this guy, a farmer, and he's out working out in the country one day, a young farmer, and his machine breaks down. He gets out in the combine. As he's working on it, it takes off, and it rips his arm off. He's out in the field, and there's nobody around, and so he knows he's just going to faint, so he somehow gets back to the house. He gets to the house. There's nobody home. It's in trouble now. Out on the farm, he doesn't have a tractor, he didn't have a phone. And, well, I kind of missed part of the joke is because what happened with this farmer is he went to join the Green Beret one day. And the Green Beret said to them, not everybody can join the Green Berets. It takes a strong and courageous group if you have anything strong and courageous. So he begins to tell them about the day he ripped his arm off, the day that he went to the house and nobody was there. And the guy that signed him up goes, well, what did you do? And he said, well, we didn't have any phones out there in the country. I had no choice. I got in my truck and I drove into town. Took my arm with me. And so when I got in town, he said, the whole town was shut down. It's late. You know, it's this country town. Nobody's in town. He said, what'd you do then? He said, well, I broke into the general store and I sewed my own arm back on. He says, that's pretty courageous. He says, I think you're making it. He goes, all right. You may need that someday. So I tell that to the surgeon and all this crew that's standing around before that. And they laugh and they go, well, what's the second thing? Because I said, I needed two things. He said, what's the second thing? I said, I want to pray for you and for this surgery. He said, okay. I mean, I may trust his ability and his skill. I want him to have God-given ability. I want him to be very skillful. But if he's going to cut me, I want to pray for him. Amen? And if he's not comfortable with that, you can leave and bring me a surgeon that's comfortable with it. Amen? I'm sorry, but it's just the way I look at it. So, you know, my point to it is that the world has wisdom. God has given people wisdom. But where's our faith resting? In the world's wisdom, it's so easy to get comfortable with the world's wisdom. Worry, faith, and placing our faith. Hello. For God's people, it should be 100% in Him. Are you walking in the counsel and wisdom of your Heavenly Father? Are you patiently trusting Him? Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. There's not an area in our life that we don't need God. His wisdom is far above our wisdom. His ways far above our ways. Are we patient enough, trusting enough, to allow God to work things out in our lives? Are we obedient enough to listen for and obey His direction in our lives? You know, we're people that want things now. We're an instant society. We want things immediately. We don't even want to take time to learn the heart of God in our lives. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We want to go headlong. We don't want to take time to learn and understand the things of God. We sometimes are just foolish in a way, and we don't know and understand. And God says we should understand things. We shouldn't be so fast. We should seek Him for His direction and wisdom. But we want things now. It's like this story about an Amish boy and his father. They went to a mall for the first time. They were amazed by everything that they saw. They'd never been to a mall. They couldn't get over this. And the one thing that struck them more than anything was this, what appeared to them to be a little two shiny doors that people would walk up and they'd press this button and these doors would slide open. And when these doors slid open, they would walk in, the doors would close, and usually there was nobody left. The door would open again, there wouldn't be anybody there. Trying to figure out what's going on, they'd never seen an elevator before. So they're watching this thing kind of scratching about, and the son says, Dad, what is it? And he says, I've never seen anything like it in my life, I don't know. So they're watching it, and this little old lady in a wheelchair rolls up. She presses the button, the door's open. It closes, they watch it, they see these lights start going up, boom, 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 boom. They're watching these lights in a little circle. Lights come back down, when the door opens up, out steps this young, beautiful 24-year-old woman. The Amish guy, without taking his eye off the woman, taps his hand on the shoulder, and she says, go get your mother. I like that joke, I don't know why. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I'm making myself laugh up here. A fool says there is no God. And you know what the result is? The Bible says they are corrupt and increasingly so. Without God, without his knowledge. Our lives should not be like that of a fool. They should not even be foolish. We should be constantly growing, constantly seeking God, constantly seeking his knowledge. If you've been here at all, and for many, many years now, I've told you one of my favorite verses, Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is just like the shining sun that shines brighter till the first gleam of dawn, the bright of the day. It's like it's understanding, as I've said so many times over the years. The path of the righteous is like this. In the morning when you get up, there's the dawn. And the sun's just starting to come up. But as the day goes on, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And so Proverbs was telling you that as a righteous individual, that your path is like that. That as you follow God, as you embrace the Word of God, as you study God, as you embrace God in your life, as you seek God, as you draw closer to Him, that your path is going to get brighter and brighter. And I've said for you for many years, because I believe that, because I'm following God, that my best days are yet to come. I hope that's your verse too. I hope you'd love that and embrace that, because that's what the Word of God is saying to you. But while it says the path of the just is like the shining sun, shines ever brighter under the perfect day, perfect part of the day, the following verse says this: the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. The Message says it this way: the ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine. But the road of wrongdoing gets darker and darker. Travelers can't see a seeing thing. They fall flat on their faces. So I don't want anywhere in between. Sometimes life gets difficulty. Sometimes life begins to wear us down. It's easy to drift from God. It's easy to become discouraged. We're surrounded by a world of doubt. We're surrounded by a world that is increasingly anti-Christian. We're surrounded by a world that is full of doubt, increasingly so, increasingly evil. And God is saying to you, rise above it. That he has not embraced the world, that he's above it. And as we embrace him, we rise above it. And anything less would be foolish. Let's stand together this morning. Scripture tells us we're in the world, but not of it. We're not called to walk in a fool's paradise. We're called to come away from the foolish things of the world and walk in God's wisdom. And he encourages us to do so because he delights in speaking truth into your life. Let's worship God together.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, he's awesome in power. Our God, let's sing it again. Our God is greater, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God. Our God. And if our God is for us, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Then what could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God,
Father, as we leave this morning, we leave here desiring to be yielded to your word, submitted to your word, yielded to you and submitted to you in our lives. That this walk of life of ours will be brighter and brighter, that we'll follow you and grow closer to you, and truly our best days are yet to come. We thank you for the grace that you've given us in our lives. We thank you for continuing to teach us, encourage us, reminding us that you're thinking of us all the time. You're working in our lives, even when we don't see it. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. As your people go, may your angels encamp about them and protect them and keep them in all they do. May your joy be in their households, your provision in their homes, and your love in their hearts. Bless them as they go, in Jesus' name. Have a blessed